This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. First of all, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear sisters. I'm going to miss seeing all your beautiful faces over the holiday, but inshallah I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our time and help us to come back together. Bi-idhnillah, inshallah we never leave this path of gathering for His sake. Bi-idhnillah. So inshallah the topic I've chosen to speak about today is regarding the blessing of time, because you know, alhamdulillah, we're about to enter into the school holidays. It's important for us to think about what we're going to be doing during these holidays, because you know, alhamdulillah, it's a holiday, it's time for us to have a rest, but that doesn't mean we just let it waste. Okay, you say rest, I don't know, it depends on how many kids you've got to look after. But in general, you know, the point is it's a time off. And even with our children, it's important that we have a plan in place. Like, we shouldn't let this time just go by without making the most of it. So that's why I want to reflect on the importance of the blessing of time, inshallah. So, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us an authentic hadith, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, that there's two blessings that most people are oblivious to and that they waste and they don't pay attention enough to, right? As-sihhatu wal-faragh, the good health and the free time. These are two blessings the majority of people, they overlook them and don't realize how precious they are. And especially when it comes to the blessing of your time, you don't realize that blessing of your time is your life. Your time is literally your life. That's how important that, you know, looking after that blessing of time is. And one of the most amazing things is when it comes to our money, most of us are so careful when it comes to spending our money, not to waste our money, you know, we're so careful with that. But when it comes to our time, We very easily and readily just we waste it in so many things. And what we don't realize that time is one of those blessings that once it's gone, you can't get it back. Like, even if you lost your money for a while, you could get it back. But when it comes to your time, you can't get it back once it's gone. So you have to realize that every day passes by your life, it's either for you or against you. Like that day that passed from your life, either it will be a witness for you in your qiyamah or a witness against you. So that's what you have to keep in your mind. And you know, there's a saying from Luqman that he used to say to his son, from the day you were born until, you know, from the day you were born, you give your back to this dunya and you're facing towards the next life, right? So you know, every day you come closer to the home that you're going to in the next life. That's where you're heading, to your home in the next life. What is your home? That's up to you to work towards, right? And you're getting further away from your home that you have in this world. So that's what we have to realize, that each day of your life, You come one, every day that passes by your life, you're coming one day closer to your life in the next world. That's the perspective we need to have. So that's why the person, you know, especially the mu'min, the believer, reflects on this reality. And they realize the value of their time. And that's why we need to be productive and not, you know, be careful in not wasting our time on that which does not bring us benefit, whether in this life nor the next. So when we, you know, and subhanAllah, wasting time, can you imagine the regrets that you would have in the Akhirah, thinking back, why did I waste that time? Look, you know, when you get to the Akhirah, you'll be thinking to yourself, why did I waste that time? On the day when you'll be looking for any hasana just to help yourself in the Akhirah. Like Allah says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرَيْرَةٍ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرَّيْرَةٍ. Like whoever did one atom's weight of good in this world will see it. And whoever did one atom's weight of evil in, you know, will see it also. So that's why we have to be concerned with what we do with our time, and we need to be concerned about how we spend our life. We need to realize that Allah Ta'ala did not create this earth with no goal and no purpose. And you yourself was not created with no goal and no purpose neither. There's a reason you were created, and you have to look for that reason and work towards it. You know, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, أَمْ حَسِّبَتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Like, do you think that we created you with no purpose and that you wouldn't be returned back to us? So this is what we have to realize, that Allah Ta'ala did not create us with no purpose. There's a reason why He created us. So this is why we need to reflect and think about, what are we supposed to be doing? What is our personal mission in this world, so that we don't waste our time in this world? From the first things that Allah Ta'ala is going to ask us about on Yom Al-Qiyamah, in a hadith sahih, He says, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَ الْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ. Like, that a person's foot would not move on the day of resurrection until he's asked about four things. عَنْ عُمُرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَاهِ. And from the first of those things, about his life and how did he spend his life. وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَاهِ. And on his, you know, and about his youth and how did he spend his youth. وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِي مَا أَنْفَقَهُ. And on, you know, and regarding his wealth, and how did he earn his wealth and how did he spend his wealth. وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيهِ. And regarding his knowledge, you know, and what did he do with his knowledge. So these are all the things we're going to be asked about, my dear sisters, on Yom Al-Qiyamah. And that's why the believer needs to be the most productive person. You know, you shouldn't even need to do life coaching to teach you how to be a productive person. Your deen itself, every time you read the Quran, is the greatest motivation to push you towards being a productive person. There's nobody who was more productive than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nobody who was more productive than the Sahaba. So if you want to know how to be productive, go and study the lives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at what they achieved in their lifetimes. Look at what the Sahaba achieved in their short lifespans. So that's what you have to realize. We are supposed to be productive, not waste. We weren't created just to sit here and waste our time and spend it in lagh and lahu, like just in play and amusement, and not use the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with to strive for His sake and to strive for the akhirah. So that's why we need to have goals. We all should be having goals, because what is the main thing that causes people to waste their time? They don't have personal goals for themselves. They're just living aimlessly, right? That's what causes people to waste their time. They don't have goals. We need to have daily goals. As a believer, you need to have daily goals. You need to have weekly goals. You need to also have a life. You need to have life goals. What are you working towards? What do you want to achieve in your life? You know, and the thing is, whatever you're working towards every day, it all adds up until it becomes your personal legacy that you leave behind you when you leave this world. So that's why, dear sisters, you need to be thinking about what is your legacy going to be when you leave this world, you know? What is going to be your individual impact that you're going to put, you know, have on this world? Maybe you're a very caring mother, a very conscientious mother, and that's your legacy. You know, raising your children to be righteous and focusing on raising righteous children. Look at the, you know, the mothers of, for example, Imam Ahmed, for example. You know, some of the greatest scholars who were behind them, their righteous mothers. And that was their legacy. And it's not, you know, subhanAllah, this is what we need more of this for our ummah. We need sisters who are focused, you know, akhira focused. We should be all akhira focused. And the problem is we're too wrapped up in the dunya, and that's what's causing us to be so unproductive. So you need to have a vision with everything, whether it's your, you know, personal goals that you want to achieve, goals with your children, goals with your family. You need to have goals, but it should be all, you know, in line with the akhirah, like what you're aiming towards with all of the different things you have towards the akhirah, inshallah. So that's why you have to make a plan. So what happens with us is that we complain we don't have enough time, we complain that we're too busy, but if you have a look at the reality, that we waste so much of our time. If you were to add up the amount of things you waste your time on, like sometimes it might be good to document for yourself if you want to get a real picture, because you say to yourself, I don't have much time. But go add up how many times you go on Facebook or you go on social media or you go on the internet, add up how many and add up how many hours a day. And if you were to add that up each week, you'll probably find it's like almost 24 hours at least that you wasted all on social media. And that's, and then we say, I don't have enough time, but imagine what you could have done within those 24 hours if you're dedicating it towards something else. So that's what you have to realize. A lot of the time, we do have it at the time, but it's just we're using it. The time we do have, we waste it on trivial things. Not to say you can't have time out. We're not saying you can't have time out. Everybody needs to have time out to re-energize yourself and get yourself ready. But the problem is, most of our time is the time out, and not much of our time is what we're dedicating. That's the problem. So we need to change that, inshallah. So if you look at, you know, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, there's a hadith in which he says, "Min husni Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." From the most complete Islam of a person is he leaves what does not concern him. Now, one of the things that this hadith teaches us is that the stronger you are in your iman, the more productive you will be. The more you'll be concerned, you know, focusing on what concerns you, and you'll be, you know, staying away from, you know, what doesn't concern you and what's of no benefit. So the stronger your iman is, the more you'll find yourself focusing on what benefits you and what is, you know, of concern to you. Because that's what the hadith says. Min husni Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. That from the most complete Islam of a person is he leaves what does not concern him. So if you find yourself just wasting your time a lot, you have to also revise your iman. Maybe because anybody who's really awake, if you're awake and you're really concerned about the akhirah, trust me, you can't waste your time. So that's why you need to reawaken your iman. Get yourself with people. That's why it's important to stay with people who are productive. You will be the summary of your closest five associates. So you have to look at who you hang around with. Are they people just all they do is waste their time smoking agila, getting together, talking, gossiping? Or are they people who, you know, one wants to do a sadaqah project, one wants to, you know, memorize the Quran, another one wants to get, you know, set up a charity organization? What sort of companions do you have around you? Because those companions have an impact on the way you view life. That's why I always say, stick to the lessons. Because when you stick with people who come to the halaqat, you'll find in general they are the most awake people. They're concerned. They want to do something valuable with their life. But when you go outside and just hang around with the people outside who never attend lessons, you'll find that their aims are just all dunya orientated. That's the difference. They just want to set up their business. They want to make money. They want to get rich. They want to get famous. That's their whole aim in this life. Okay, so when you're, as I said, the more complete your iman is, the more you'll find yourself focused on what is productive for you in this world and the next. And the other thing, my dear sisters, as well, is if you want to know how to stay away from fitna, it's to throw yourself into the ta'at. Throw yourself into the righteous actions. So look for what you like. Everybody has certain righteous deeds they find easier for themselves. Some people, they find memorizing the Quran easy, or seeking knowledge, they find that easy for them. Other people, they're the caring type of people. So they're very good at like visiting sisters, helping, consoling someone who's got, you know, gone through hardships. You know what I mean? So everybody's got their own individual talents. Every single one of you has gifts Allah has given you, and you need to tap into it and use those resources Allah has given you to strive with it for the akhirah. So we've all got individual talents. Like, you've got strengths I don't have. I've got strengths you don't have. So you've got to tap into your individual strengths and use that to be productive. When you find your, what's for you, when you find what you love, maybe it's even making things. Some people are good with their hands. They love art and craft. They could make that. They could sell it for sadaqah. They could make it to help people to, you know, strive for the akhirah, you know? So once you find what your particular thing is for you, when you get yourself busy in that path, trust me, it will protect you from so much fitan. It will protect you from so much, you know, falling into sins and being trialed in your deen. Because what causes people to fall into sins in particular is when they engage in what does not concern them and what does not benefit them. Because you think about it, that person who wastes their time, that person who busies themselves with what does not benefit and what does not concern, sooner or later they fall into sins. So for example, they just spend all their time on the internet all the time. What happens after a while? Sooner or later, may protect us, they end up going into pornography, or they end up talking to, chatting with the opposite genders and things like this. And so sooner or later they fall into masiyah. Sooner or later they fall into disobedience. So that's what happens. And if it's sisters getting together, like they over-socialize, over-socialization is one of the greatest causes of falling into namima and riba. If eventually, sooner or later, you know, the more you mix, the more chances comes of you ending up talking about people and backbiting and gossiping, and that's what happens. See, so, but if you're busy, you haven't got time, you haven't got very much time to socialize. You haven't got very much time to, you can't think about getting into this fitna. And my dear sisters, on that point, that's why it's very important for us to structure for our children a program during the holidays as well. Because remember that if you're not keeping busy with what benefits, then you're going to go to what does not benefit. That's basically what it comes down to. So if you're not keeping your kids active in different activities, they can end up going into sins. So like you've got to have, like you have, it doesn't have to be a very strict structure, but like there should be certain things that you want to try to achieve for them in the school holidays. Maybe it's memorizing a few surahs of the Quran. So maybe it's memorizing Surah Al-Kahf, for example, or just some juz'at from the end of Juzamma. You know, so you have a program. So my suggested program would be, that's what I used to do with my own children. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing they should do is the Quran. The first thing they start off with is the Quran, because it's heavy on them to sit and memorize. So you do that first. And then after that, they can go on the PlayStation, they can go on the iPad, you know, let them do what they want, it's all right. But as long as they did something productive for that day. And of course, in saying that, they shouldn't, that iPad and that PlayStation should not cause them to miss their five prayers. Okay, so, but the point is, you have a daily goal for your children during the school holidays. Even yourself, you should have daily goals. So that every time you go to bed at night, you know you've done at least something. Even if it was memorize one ayah, it was seek knowledge, it was something that you did, every single day that you know. And that gives you a great deal of self-satisfaction. When you go to bed knowing, even though you had to look after your children, you had to run after them all day, but you know that even though I just read one page of the Quran, or I memorized one ayah, alhamdulillah, I achieved something for my akhirah in this day. Like, your day should not be only all children. Your day needs to be for yourself as well, because this is your life. Every day passes away is one day of your life going. So that's why you have to be very have great protective jealousy over your time. More than your money. You feel sad if you lost $100, but you don't feel sad when you lose one day. And yet that day is more precious for you on Yawmul Qiyamah than that $100. That's something we don't think about enough. So that's what I'm saying, dear sisters. So when you do like that, alhamdulillah, every day you got something, then by the end of the week, how much have you achieved? It all adds up. Even the little thing you do every single day, it all adds up in the long run. And then by the time the school holidays left, you alhamdulillah, you achieved something. Like, you might have a program of revising the Quran as well. Maybe you already memorized Juzamma, for example. So you say, all right, this school holiday, I'm going to revise Juzamma. That's going to be my goal. So, you know, every week you divide it, how much you're going to revise. For example, you do a quarter of Juzamma the first week, next quarter, the next week, like that. So by the time the school holiday is finished, you revise the whole of Juzama. Or maybe that's with your children. You understand? This is how we should be focusing. But of course, we need some recreation time by all means. Like, I don't want your kids to have a boring holiday. And you shouldn't do that too, because we need our children to love Islam, my dear sisters. We need our children to love Islam and not find it heavy. And that's why some people, they went to the, like, they make it too heavy. Like, I personally don't really like the idea of putting my children into a set program during the school holidays where, you know, you send them off every single day to some program and they do all these, like, they make them do educational activities and all this stuff. Like, often that's quite heavy for the children. They've been at school all year and then you're going to send them off to an educational program or holiday as well. It's, you know, in general, unless your kid loves that, I don't really like that. They need to play. They need just free time just to do what they want to do. Wander around the backyard, play some, you know, whatever, play some games. Just let them occupy themselves. Let them go and fiddle with stuff that they have. And that's very important for even for their brain to develop. Do you know that? Instead of always having structured education, they need to actually go and just do things on their own. Like, get some rubbish pieces of paper and make a craft thing out of it. Trust me, you know, when they don't, you know, when you don't structure their time for them, they will find things to do. I mean, you probably find things all taken out of your cupboards and you probably find a massive mess. Like, I know my son, he likes to collect like this old fan from the park and pull it apart and see how it works. But I mean, but alhamdulillah, do you know how much they learn from things like that? You know, and that's what unfortunately is missing in the childhood of a lot of our children now, because we just want a complete structured program where, you know, and you're not letting them have some time to work out what they need to do for themselves. And it's not good. It's not helpful for them. Okay, sisters? So have some time, but like, you do need to have a certain amount of structure where, because we want them to be trained with Quran, because if you get your children used to Quran from when they're small, they grow up with it, it's a normal part of their life. And it's something, yani, normal to them, and you won't find so much hardship with them when they're older. But if you don't get them used to it, then it's very hard to start when they're like 12 and they've never memorized Quran before. And the other thing is too, that you have to make them have a lot of fun after it. So they have to have something really fun that they like to do after it, so that they know that they've got that to look forward to. And you're like that, I'm like that. Whenever I've got to do things which I don't want to do, like I've got assignments to do or study to do, I need to have something to reward myself after. And I do that with myself even. Like, if I've got assignments to do, I say, all right, I sit down in the morning, I'll do these assignments, and then after that, I'm gonna do something else that I like to do, which is more enjoying my free time. You understand? So you've got to do that with your children. That's what motivates them. They need a carrot. Don't expect your kids to sit down and say, oh yes, mummy, I can't wait to memorize the Quran. That's not a realistic idea of how a child is. Do you think my children every day sat down and said, oh yes, let's memorize the Quran? No, I had to be firm with them. I said to them, yalla, it's time to memorize the Quran now. We start from when they're fresh in the morning. We sit for about an hour or so, and then yalla, off you go. You can now go on the PlayStation. You can go on whatever you want to do. I let them go off and do what they want to do, and alhamdulillah, they're happy with that. You understand? That's how you do it, sisters. Okay, so like I'm saying, you need to have a schedule. If you don't have a schedule, you'll end up wasting your time. And with the internet now, we've got to be so careful with our children, because if you let them just sit there, like, maybe you think it's an easy approach, just like, I can do whatever I want. I just stick them on the computer and that gives me time to do whatever I want. But what are they looking on the computer? What are they looking at? And you don't know what sites they're going to, and they're just drifting from here to there. And the next thing you know, I get a phone call from a mother distraught because her son or her daughter is addicted to pornography. What do I do? How do I get my son off pornography now? Because it's an addiction and they don't know how to get off. And like, sometimes they're addicted for 10 years, they're too embarrassed to tell their parents. So this is a real threat we have, and we have to be very conscious. And what is the reason? Having too much free time and being able to drift here and there on the internet and not being like diligent enough and knowing the dangers that's out there. So, you know, we have our five prayers, like alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we have our five prayers to help us to schedule ourselves. You know, so you can think to yourself every day, like, so before you go to bed at night, you should have an idea of what you're going to do each day. You should have a mental idea of what you're going to do each day. If it's too much, you can write it down. A lot of people like to write it down. Not everybody needs to write it down. It depends on you, because you might have a very, you might already have a very predictable schedule. Like with myself, I tend to only write my appointments and unusual things, but I know in general, because I have certain lessons on each day, and I know what I've got to do. So that helps me structure my time. But like, for example, at Fajr, you should know what you're going to be doing after Fajr. So when, you know, and you're going to think when, you know, there are certain things you need to achieve each week. Like you want to like memorize a certain amount of Quran, you want to revise a certain amount of Quran, you want to study for something. So you've got to know when you're going to do that. And you need to know how to slot that into your day. Maybe you want to visit a sister, for example, in the week. What day is the most suitable to do that? Okay, so you have to have a weekly vision of what you want to achieve during that week. When, what days are the most suitable to slot that in? And then daily schedules around your five prayers. You know, for example, you need a time to cook your food. You need a time to clean the house. You need a time to talk to your children. It's very important. You know, spend some time with the family. And then time for what you're striving for, your own personal goals. So you need to have a rough outline of when you're going to be doing these things. Of course, we have to be flexible too. Like, you can't always expect that you might not get it done before Dhuhr because something else happens. So sometimes you have to be flexible with that and change around your schedule. So what? As long as you have a basic idea of what you want to achieve, and even if you can't achieve it one day because you get thrown, you know, sometimes your schedule gets thrown out the door. So what? You just start again the next day. It doesn't matter. Even if sometimes a few days go by, sometimes I get totally thrown off my schedule. I can't do the things I want to achieve. It might go on for a week or so even sometimes. But then the most important thing is to come back to it after that. You keep going. It's like falling off a bike. You know, what do? You get back on, you keep riding. That's what, as long as we keep moving, that's the most important thing, sisters. Your idea as a believer is to keep on moving. You're always moving. You're always trying to progress. You're always trying to improve in your life, you know, with whatever skills or whatever, you know, you're trying to achieve. So these are some of the things I want to speak about today. Basically, just like I said, making the most of your life and not wasting your time, because that is, unfortunately, like as we see when we come to the holidays, a lot of people, even if you go on holidays, like a lot of people when they go on holidays, they're just going to spend all their time eating, going to the beach. But where's the dhikr of Allah? Where's the dhikr of Allah? Like you've got to have a balance. Like Islam does not teach us to just go all the way one way and neglect the other side. Okay, so you need to have balance. So if you're going on a holiday, that's beautiful, mashallah, great time to, you know, re-energize, but there should be a balance there. So remember to do your adhkar in the mornings. You know, when you go, maybe go for a walk in the morning and do your adhkar while you're walking. Yeah? Come back and do some Quran or sit on the beach. You know, the most beautiful thing is to sit on the beach and revise Quran. And it's so beautiful to combine between, you know, that atmosphere of nature and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you won't believe the reward for remembering Allah in a place where He's, you know, Allah's not usually remembered. It's so much greater than, for example, if you're in the mosque or something like that. And even the fact that you chose to remember Allah in a time when most people don't remember Allah. That's far greater and far heavier in the mizan, because it's harder to remember Allah in a time of ghafla. When you're in a time where most people would just be thinking about the dunya, and you overcame your nafs to remember Allah in that moment, then that is huge in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, you know, make use of those times where most people are not remembering Allah. You be from those who remember Allah. One of the main things that causes people to waste their time is not having enough self-control. Okay, as well. Besides not having goals for yourself, because you need goals. If you have goals and you realize the reality of this life, that's one of the greatest motivators to help you not to waste your time. But besides that, the other thing you need to have is self-discipline. That's a very important thing, because a lot of people don't have self-discipline. Like they want to do things, they have goals, but then they don't have the self-discipline. So that's That's what's important. So we have to realize the nature of the nafs. The nature of the nafs is that it's going to pull you towards procrastination. That's normal. Everybody has that. Don't think that you're alone. Everybody has that in them, that you want to be lazy and just sit there and do nothing and just like lie in bed for a few hours and just stare out the window and some people pointing to each other, you know, or go on social media for hours and hours, you know. Everybody's got that, okay? So Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. So Allah says that verily the nafs, it pushes you or commands you towards a su', like towards evil, except who my Lord has mercy upon them. So this is the nature of the nafs. If you understand that, you won't get so much guilt. Because some people, what happens is it's like a vicious circle. They want to do all these things, but they don't have much self-discipline. So then when they don't do it and they find themselves procrastinating, they say, I'm not good, I'm bad, look at me, and then they end up doing nothing at all. They just sit in a heap and do nothing. So you have to realize that's normal what you're going through. That's totally normal and everybody's the same. You're not alone. We all at times especially feel lazy, we want to procrastinate, and we're going to do that. We are going to procrastinate. No matter how productive you are, there's definitely going to be times when you're going to procrastinate, and there's definitely going to be times you're going to be lazy. It's absolutely normal. So give yourself credit and realize that shows you're a human being. You're not a robot. Okay? But, well, that's the reality. You're not a robot. But at the same time, Allah has raised us from being like animals. Animals just follow their nafs and they have absolute no self-control. And we do have self-control. Allah gave us the ability to have control over ourselves. So, you know, Allah tells us in the Quran, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Whoever transgresses and prefers the life of this world, then verily the Jahim, like the Jahannam, will be his final abode. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. But as for the one who fears his Lord and they restrained their nafs from al-hawa, from going to its desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى, then Jannah will be his final abode. So this is the key. You've got to learn to discipline your nafs. Don't just give into it. So what you do, you can do what I said before. Like, some things are heavy. Like, you might feel like you want to read Quran, but it's always heavy on you. So what you say, all right, I'll just read a little bit today. I'll just read only 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And if you got yourself used to reading 5 minutes of Quran every day, you know what will happen? After a while, you can start to increase it. Or you might find when you start reading for 5 minutes, you actually start enjoying it and you read it for half an hour instead. So it's not just with Quran, it's with anything. So that's what you do. Like sometimes when I have an assignment to do, for example, I don't want to do it, but I say, all right, look, if I just sit here and I'll just sit for half an hour only, and that's all I'm going to do, only half an hour, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to eat something, I'm going to go and have a relax, you know? But then sometimes once you get into it, you find yourself becoming, like you start to enjoy it and you start to go along with it. But the thing is, you get satisfaction when you've done it. You get satisfaction when you know you've achieved it. So what the Salaf, you know, we have to realize, even the Salaf, they used to struggle with their nafs. Everybody struggles with their nafs. But they said that they used to force themselves to do good deeds. So that's what you have to do. You have to actually force yourself. Umar, Ibn Abdulaziz, he said, the best of good deeds are those which we force ourselves to do. So sometimes you don't really want to do something. Maybe you don't even want to pray. You feel lazy to pray, but you just go and you pray. But then, alhamdulillah, you feel satisfied that you at least went and did that. At least you did go pray. That's the most important thing. See, so don't think that doing good deeds always comes easily. No, it doesn't. But you've got to push yourself. And the more you push yourself, so in the beginning, okay, so one thing you have to understand, the way you understand about the nafs as the scholars have just explained, it's a lot like a baby. The way you deal with your naps is a lot like a baby. So you see, when you have a baby, and most of you have got experience with this, so you breastfeed the baby, right? And then you've got to wean the baby. Like, when you want to get the baby off the breast milk, what do? You have to wean it. Do you take it straight off the breast milk, or do you slowly introduce the food? And then it slowly goes, it gets used to the food and it goes off. That's what you've got to do with your naps. So your naps might be completely addicted to, say, watching TV. Like, you just have to watch opera, and you have to watch, what's that guy's name, Dr. something, Dr. Phil. You have to sit there and you have to watch all those shows, and you're just like so addicted to TV. How do you get yourself off? So what you do is you've got to find other things that interest you, like I said before, with thoughts, like with righteous actions, whether it's seeking knowledge, whether it's being involved with a charity organization, volunteering, visiting people, cooking for sisters, whatever, yani, whatever you like to do, which is a righteous deed that you're doing with a niyyah for Allah, yeah? And when you find yourself getting busy with that, you slowly wean yourself off that old life, which you were just wasting your time. Like, I know myself, years ago, I used to be so addicted to watching TV. I would sit for hours watching TV. I'm not joking, hours watching TV, and I used to love it, and watch this program, watch that program. How did I get myself off? I made a structure for myself. I made a weekly structure for myself. So, for example, I said, all right, so Tuesdays I go to this sister's house, I'm going to learn Quran with her, she's going to teach me Tajweed, and I'm going to go learn Quran. Then, you know, because I had too much time on my hands. I only had myself, maybe I had my son or something like that. He was a baby. Another day, I'm going to go to this lesson. Another day, I'm going to have that for visiting sisters. You know, you've got to fill up your week with things, with activities. But all the activities are something that you can get rewarded from it. Okay, so that's what you do. You fill up your time, and then, especially if you've got to study for things or you've got to prepare for things, then that's what keeps you busy. Like, alhamdulillah, one of the greatest things that's helped me to stay away from all that life of wasting time is getting busy with seeking knowledge. I think that is the main thing. Seeking knowledge and memorizing the Quran were the two main things that really helped me to get away from all that wasting time. So when you get yourself engaged, that's what I'm saying, if you get yourself engaged with the you know, ta'at, with righteous deeds, you'll see it'll, and then your nafs gets used to it. Like, you start to enjoy it. You start to taste the halawa of those righteous deeds and what you're doing. You know, you get a passion for it, and you start to, you know, you get driven by it. So then you look at that and you think, oh, what a waste of time to watch. How did I used to sit there doing that? You understand? So that's how that's basically the way to deal with your nafs, how to, you know, convert your life from being unproductive to productive. And like I said before, you are going to have to place a bit of pressure on yourself. It's the same thing when you first started praying. If you were someone who converted to Islam or you came back to Islam, you'll know when you first started praying, it was really hard. You know, it was very hard for you to start praying. It was heavy on you. You're not used to it. But now, inshallah, for most of you, praying is second nature. It's like you're waiting every time the time comes. If you haven't prayed within the first hour, you start to feel uncomfortable. You don't feel restful because no matter what you're doing, you've got in the back of your mind, I need to pray. I haven't prayed yet, and the time's running out, and you feel uncomfortable. So that's how it becomes such an integral part of your life. So it's the same thing. And so that wasn't me, because your nafs got used to that. You made yourself used to it, and so it became easy for you until you couldn't live without it anymore. And it's the same for everything. Like, I remember when I first put the hijab. Oh my God, so hard to put the hijab on. It was such a heavy thing. How am I going to go outside? Everyone's going to look at me and all this. But subhanAllah, you start wearing it, and after a while, after a few weeks, it's like you couldn't imagine life without it anymore. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a thabat. So it's like that for everything, my dear sisters, whether it's your prayers and your hijab or whatever, or it's even other things in making yourself productive. It's going to be hard in the beginning, but after a while you get used to it, it becomes normal. You know, like I remember when I first started, for example, giving a lesson once a week. Oh my God, once a week, that's so much. You know, how am I going to give a lesson every week? You know, and I've got to prepare the lesson, and you know, alhamdulillah, but you know, subhanAllah, then alhamdulillah, you start to progress, it started to become easier. Allah made it easier, alhamdulillah, min fadlillahi ta'ala. And then maybe you add another lesson on. You know, you understand? So this is what happens, dear sisters. And it's the same thing in your lives with whatever you're doing. You probably started off doing something and it was a big deal, but like, you know, there's a lot of examples I can give you, but you know, subhanAllah, this is what happens. You have to realize the value of your life. You know, I want to conclude with this. You know, realize the value of your life, that the true value of your life is not how long you live. It's not how many years you live in this world. Okay? So somebody could live in this world for 100 years and yet their life in the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is zero. That's a sad reality. They could live for 100 years and their life in the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like zero. And somebody else could live only maybe 30 or 40 years and yet the amount of hasanat in their scale is equal to someone as if they would have lived maybe an ordinary person of 1,000 years. SubhanAllah. So that's what we have to remember. So the true life of a person, the true value of your life is not counted by how many hours or days or years you live, but rather how much you feel these days and hours and years with, you know, with righteous actions and obedience and amal salihat, you know, the righteous deeds. And that's why when you go back, as I was saying in the beginning, you look at the Sahaba, like think about, for example, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, how much did he achieve? Like he was only the Khalifa for 2.5 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, but how much did he achieve in that short amount of time? You know, uniting the whole Muslim Ummah under his rule, leading armies, collecting the Mus'haf into one, collecting the Quran into one Mus'haf. You know, under his rule, the Muslims opened up Iraq and Persia. They entered Syria. So look at how much he was able to achieve for himself and for the Ummah in just 2.5 years. And that's because of the barakah he had in his life. He had so much barakah in his life. Even one time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sitting with his companions and he was asking them, who got up and fasted this morning? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I did. Who attended a funeral prayer today? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I did. Who fed a needy person, gave sadaqah and fed a needy person today? Abu Bakr said, I have. Who amongst you has visited a sick person today? Abu Bakr said, I have. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily anybody who's done all of these things would enter Jannah by all of its 8 gates. I mean, because who can achieve such, you know, tabarakallah, because why they're so motivated for the akhirah? That's what they knew that they understood the value of this life. So that's what we have to understand. So, you know, going back to what I was saying, a mu'min, when it comes to holidays, yes, it's a holiday, but we need to learn how to be productive in this holiday as well. We don't just waste our time. That's not the life of the mu'min. The mu'min, the believer, understands the true reality of what time is, that time is part of your life that's going away. And just like today is one more day from your life gone, this school holiday coming up is also days from your life that you can't get back once they're gone, and it will be a witness for us on Yom Qiyamah, either for us or against us. And we need to also teach our children the value of time.